Good evening, gents. My name's Russell again. It's just a smaller crew than usual.
Howell.
Gareth.
Leon.
Short of Rich, he's moving house this week, so he's got his hands full, so best luck with that, Rich. And Daniel's a bit busy as well. Although we're going to give Daniel some credit in due course for having reflected on the last but one podcast, because I spoke with Raphael since we recorded that one as well. A bit of a letdown, wasn't it, really? I think we'd all kind of built it up. I mean, Rich was talking about, you know, hitting them with wave after wave of attack, and I think we'd all sort of built it up, and we were on a bit of a high after kind of getting out of jail a little bit against Cyprus, because we laboured a little bit. Nicked it, and we're thinking, oh, you know, roll them over in their place. Israel turning up is going to be easier. Didn't quite got a plan, did it?
No, I think
I regret my own uncharacteristic optimism a little bit. I think as we sat around and talked about last time, I was already having the Sunday night party after the Israel game. I was, you know, really, really kind of certain that sort of the romance of it was going to kind of blossom now. You think, in I suppose, quite a childlike way, you think about football. We've been Belgium now, you know, we won company in Israel. This is the time now in the home straight where we just go and win easily 2-0, just like a Manchester United in a title running would have done years ago. But international football, and certainly Wales international football, isn't really like that. So we've made the wait a little bit.
I think mitigating factor is, you know, like, I think we were all swept away. I think the whole of Wales was swept away, weren't they? Particularly after getting that winner against Cyprus. But, you know, it's hard to play and travel that short space of time, isn't it? And I think perhaps we all forgot it was a Thursday night, Sunday evening game. I think, you know, you've seen in the Rugby World Cup, you know, just how difficult it is for those top level internationals to roll it out in short spaces of time, even if you are Gareth Bale. And, you know, if you're coming with a fairly, you know, a limited game plan like Israel did, then, you know, they're just there to park the bus. They haven't got to run themselves into the ground to a certain extent. They're just going to get men behind the ball and stay in shape. And it's what they did very well, actually. And we just didn't quite have enough to break them down.
And we had to dig deep in that first game as well.
That's
right. We had to keep chipping away. Very warm. No, I think you're probably right. I think it's one of those, it's a sports science bit, isn't it? That's really important, this top level. And, you know, none of us, unless I'm mistaken, are qualified sports scientists in any way, and it probably does take a lot out of them. You know, the recovery time is probably limited, and he's straight back on a plane and things like that. So,
I mean, it's not a particularly short flight, is it?
And we knew Alan Ledley missing would make a difference, and it did make a big difference. Perhaps we overestimated how easily that gap could be filled. Players did all right, didn't they, Edwards and King, but there's such a gap in quality that we never looked in the same way like we could create chances when we were going to have less opportunity to.
How did that Cyprus game look to you in your Irish bar in Innsbruck early on?
It was quite frustrating because we really should have scored early, and it would have been a lot more comfortable, because I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. The David Edwards header after about 20 minutes or so, wasn't it? Looked a perfectly good goal to me. Neil Taylor had a really good chance as well from the Bale free kick. But sort of like halfway through the second half, I was thinking, Cyprus don't look like scoring at least, and 0-0's all right. It doesn't really change anything for the Israel game. And then we seemed to get a lot better at the end. I thought we really sort of pushed on the last 15 minutes, and I think the Sky commentary said, you know, that goal had been coming. Seemed to, you know, they dropped off us a little bit. There was a bit, some more space opened up, and so Ramsey sort of poked that ball through to Jazz Richards, and great cross, great header. And yeah, I kind of leapt up and shocked a few people at the bar, but it was great celebrations for the goal as well. It's really great to see.
Yeah, the English lad, the guys I played football with, he was in the pub with us in Llandaff watching it, and he said, I mean, 30 seconds before the goal, that building up pressure nicely here, they'll kind of crack, and he's kind of watching it with a bit more of a neutral sort of standpoint on things, so he's not quite as tense and as worried and as anxious, I guess, as some of us, and I think he was right, and we had been just just ratcheting up the pressure. Mm-hmm. And they gave in, but it was a terrific cross from Richards.
Yeah.
And I think again in the Israel game as well, I thought he was brilliant. Yeah, I mean he was just positionally, and I remember that's what struck me when I remember the first time I saw him in a Welsh game, you know, in a Welsh shirt was he came as a sub against Croatia. He didn't play right back, he played almost like a right midfield, but quite tucked in, quite narrow. And positionally he was brilliant. You know, he's not the most skillful player, he's not the quickest of players either, but he just knew where to stand whenever the opposition had the ball, and I think that positioning stands him in good stead for like the international level, where it's all about that tactical awareness. But I thought he was excellent. For me, if not one of the best players over the two games, I was really impressed with him. He just keeps going, getting better and better for Wales.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think we've kind of championed Chris Gunter a lot in these podcasts in the past, but it's going to be a really interesting selection dilemma with people all fit now for that game. You'd think that Richards really, on the basis of those last two games, has got to play, and then it's what happens in three centre-half roles. Interesting what you said about the Edwards goal. I don't, without wanting to sound too conspiratorial, we wonder if, amidst all the kind of hoo-ha of the ranking position, whether these couple of games show us a little bit where we still stand in the pecking order. Part of me was thinking after the two games, did Germany get that goal allowed? Do they get the penalty shouts against Israel? Does Spain get them? Do England get them? You know, and perhaps we're still not big enough fish to get that little bit of help from referees, maybe.
It was a shocking decision. I mean, I don't think it was a foul. I forget, you'll have to remind me, gents, who it was.
I think it's Williams it was given against.
That's right,
against
that's right, the cross came in.
Yeah, because it wasn't against Edwards. I thought it was a shocking decision. But maybe you're right. Conspiratorial's good. We have a good legal team here,
guys. We have a good legal team behind us, so we can make these spurious accusations.
You know, I hate to harp back about kind of who was right and who was wrong many months ago, but I was led to believe by people around this table that Joe Ledley getting himself needlessly booked in the first couple of games was definitely going to put pressure on referees to give us these kind of decisions. And I remember saying at the time, do you know what it really means? Is he's going to miss a game that we'll struggle in? Well, anyway, say I told you so. No, I do like to say I told you so.
Possibly give you that one. But it's funny, I mean, we I think we all sort of said unanimously that it was going to be a 6-point haul over the two games. And okay, it's four, and it's, you know, we were... so it's only the 1 point needed, so it's a bit of a letdown after that second game. But I mean, I think it was Daniel was a bit more circumspect about it. We were all quite confident, and he thought that it was going to be a little bit tougher in that second game, and that's so it sort of turned out. But I think we came out of the traps, not that all of us made it to our seats in time, we got out of the traps really well. Ramsey misses a good chance, heads over the bar, and you know, if that goes in, they've got to come because they needed a result. Mm. They needed at least a point. I'm not sure a point in the longer run will serve them any good, actually, but they needed at least a point, and that would have sucked them out, and I reckon we'd have just picked them off again like we did in the first one, which is all ifs and buts and maybes. But
absolutely, they played the kind of game Andorra play, only they kind of good enough to do it quite well. I mean, we've built a lot of our campaign on a good defensive shape and good organisation, but not in the way Israel did it to us. They didn't want to come out of their half. They, you know, it takes some doing, to be fair to them. It takes some doing to go through 90 minutes with no real attempt to mount an attack and just shut out, you know, technically fairly good opponents that we are. But they did it well. I mean, if I was being pessimistic, you might say it's a little bit worrying that in that sort of game we can't find the goal or we struggle to find the goal.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, that's what not really having a top-notch centre-forward.
Yeah.
You know, that's what I worry further down the line, perhaps, that people are going to come and park the bus. But, you know, I think, to be honest, I don't want to go over the top with that game. I think, you know, we would do one of those in a campaign. And otherwise, you know, pretty much faultless campaign, isn't it? We would do a game like that. I think, you know, realistically... I think we go to Bosnia as favourites now. Would you agree?
Well, now they're missing Bezic and Dzeko.
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, if we were going to play any team without
Bale or Allen or Bale and Ramsey, we'd think, oh, crikey, you know, that's a significant impact on our potential sort of threat. Threat going forward and our ability to nullify the opponent, the main opponent's threat, because that's what Bezic did to Bale in the first game. So I think, you know, if you flip that on its head, then I think they must be anxious. And I think just a couple of the Twitter feeds I follow related to Bosnian football, the English language ones anyway, they are quite worried.
Yeah, having said that, I think that's fair enough. But what might also suit us actually, which is kind of linked to what I was saying a minute ago, is that away in Bosnia, even without their players, should be a kind of reversion to the way we've played a lot of our games, which is they can have more of the ball. Yeah. We'll organise and get our shape. They need to come and win, really. We know a draw suits us, and that's helped us in games against Belgium and against Bosnia at home playing that way. So maybe our strength is going to lie in those sort of games, playing bigger teams who...
I think we are that type of team, aren't we? You know, like our shape and everything is set up for that, isn't it? I think it's a game that, you know, we can go potentially we can go and get a result. Why not? You know.
How do you see it, Leon? Or how did you see the Israel game as well? So I give you a chance to comment on that.
Israel. Going back to what Gaz was just saying there. I mean, I don't know what the official behind the goal is actually doing there. If he's right there and there's an obvious handball and he doesn't give it, I don't know. Just don't really see the point in him being there at all. That was frustrating, especially seeing it sort of in the stadium after the game. So they were showing it on Sky Sports, and everyone just groaned, you know, watching this slow motion replay of this completely obvious handball.
It's another one for guys' list of conspiracies.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. In these days of kind of. Players having a paddy over every kind of decision that doesn't go their way, you can still tell when the shout is genuine. You could tell from Haraldsson Kanu that it was definitely a penalty, and you watch it back and you saw it, and I don't know, staggering. What is the point of those officials?
Well, and there was one in the Cyprus game as well, wasn't there?
Yeah,
that was fairly very similar. Yeah. Go on, Leon, you were saying?
Yeah, I mean, it would have been different had we scored early on if Ramsey put that header away, I guess, and maybe Rich's wave after wave of attack 4-0 prediction would have come true then. One of those games where an early goal really changes things, and just ended up being a bit of a frustrating one in the end. I mean, I've watched some highlights and stuff, and it's as I think Andy King and Dave Edwards played well, but as well as they played, you can tell that When Allen and Ledley play, we move the ball much quicker. We transition it from defence to attack much quicker, and that could have made a real difference in terms of creating chances to score. So yeah, I think Howell was saying on the last one that, you know, he was worried we might miss Joe Allen, and that kind of turned out to be true as well. It's great he's back. Apparently he played. I didn't see it the other day. He played well in the Europa League for Liverpool. He's a big player for us. And looking forward to seeing him out in Bosnia, because I think he will be a key player if we're going to get a result. Yeah, I fancy us to do it, to get the draw at least. They've got to come at us. They've got to win. You know, the draw's no good to them. Could it play? You know, if we can keep our shape and keep our discipline like we have been, could be another clean sheet. I think we've got 7 clean sheets in the last 10 competitive games or something like that. Kind of fancy us to do it again, I think. Just the only worry perhaps is that our only really out of form player is James Chester, and is Coleman going to bring James Chester back in, or keep the same back five we played in the last two games?
We've pretty much got a full complement, hasn't he, to choose from, because we might possibly have had for the last two games, but I mean, back last season, you know, Davis was injured, and then Chester was injured, Collins was injured. So it'd been made slightly easier, the selection, by somebody not being available for the squad in the first place. But it's more or less a full complement now.
Yeah.
So I think I'm interested to see how he goes. I've got confidence in whichever personnel
and whichever formation he goes with, whether it's four, it's five, or it's a sort of deep line five, or it's three and wing back, because we seem to have just been able to change things both from game to game, but in games as well, really quite comfortably. So
you play a three,
I think, yeah,
and the wing backs, and then he can, if he needs to, he can turn that into a back five, can he, quite comfortably, or he can, you know, as we've already seen, one of Richards or Taylor just will hang wide, high, play high, and you've got that extra man in midfield. So
I mean, Chester's his decision, because the first decision is Chester coming back in, and if he's not, it's the same back five as the last couple of games. But if he is, then he has to call sort of Richards or Gunter. I think on balance, and it's a tough decision, and I wouldn't really kind of criticise whatever he goes for. They've done a good job of organising with different personnel. But when Chester came in and played those first couple of games, he was so good that it was kind of a surprise. And I wonder if, however much perhaps he's not got into the team and now he's had a bit more game time, they're struggling. I wonder if that Chester, when he's with the Wales squad, he kind of, the way they're organised and drilled makes sense to him. He knows exactly how he has to play. That's how it seemed in previous games. Weigh that up against, it's going to be tougher for someone like Gunter filling in that back three away in Bosnia than perhaps it was against Cyprus and Israel. And I think maybe Chester's just a bit more proven in that role. I think for me, he'd go back in, and then you've got a very tough call on the right-hand side, which I don't think
I'd have to go with Gunter. If you're going to choose one of Gunter or Richards, I'd have to go with Gunter, I think.
I think Jazz Richards has been injured, hasn't he, as well? I think he's only just come back.
Yeah.
Fulham this weekend, so I if it's a choice between Gunter and Richards, I'd probably go Gunter as well, but it's got to the point where I've just got faith that Coleman's going to
pick
the team every time, really.
I think what's interesting with Richards is, irrespective of how well he's played for Wales when he has played, he was doing it off the back of not much club football. Now he's had a run of games, notwithstanding a little injury, but he's basically started first choice at Fulham. All right, he's at Championship level, not Premier League, but I don't know, playing regular Championship level or getting, like, you know, every game, starting every, what, one game in 10 and, you know, a handful of substitute appearances every now and again in the Premier League. It'd be interesting to see how he plays when he comes into the side, having played with some sort of rhythm, match fit. But like you say, I mean, I'm not particularly bothered really one way or the other.
I mean,
which is a great choice. And great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it's nice to have choice.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of players are kind of affording us those choices now. I was looking at the kind of the players in the squad today and how their club season seems to be going over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks, and we kind of really that sort of squad outlook is really turning around. If you think about Alan and Ledley being fit, but King still getting games, or at least coming off the bench in the Premiership, Vokes has had a run of games for Burnley, Church is getting in the team in the Championship, Lawrence has played the last couple for Blackburn, Hal Robson-Kanu actually, Reading had a couple of games a couple of weeks ago where he was either on a bench or didn't feature. There seemed to be these new guys on the block scoring the goals, and I thought, do you know what, maybe he's dropping down the pecking order a bit, but he's played the last couple of games, you know, and we've got not just a kind of squad who are available to play, but they've had match time. They should be a kind of at a perhaps not a quite a peak, because I know sort of people like Alan are still coming back after fairly lengthy injuries, but to have 20 players all kind of playing Premiership, Championship football and featuring is, you know, is really, really unusual. Really positive.
Fulham this weekend, so I if it's a choice between Gunter and Richards, I'd probably go Gunter as well, but it's got to the point where I've just got faith that Coleman's going to pick the team every time, really.
I think what's interesting with Richards is, irrespective of how well he's played for Wales when he has played, he was doing it off the back of not much football, club football. Now he's had a run of games, notwithstanding a little injury, but he's basically started first choice at Fulham. All right, he's at Championship level, not Premier League, but I don't know, playing regular Championship level or getting, like, you know, every game, starting every, what, one game in 10 and, you know, a handful of substitute appearances every now and again in the Premier League. It'd be interesting to see how he plays when he comes into the side, having played with some sort of rhythm, match fit. But like you say, I mean, I'm not particularly bothered really one way or the other.
I mean,
which is a great choice. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well,
it's nice to have choice.
Yeah, yeah.
A lot of players are kind of affording us those choices now. I was looking at the kind of the players in the squad today and how their club season seems to be going over the last sort of 3 or 4 weeks. And we kind of really, that sort of squad outlook is really turning around. If you think about Alan and Ledley being fit, but King still getting games, or at least coming off the bench in the Premiership. Vokes has had a run of games for Burnley. Church is getting in the team in the Championship. Lawrence has played the last couple for Blackburn. Hal Robson-Kanu, actually, Reading had a couple of games a couple of weeks ago where he was on the bench or didn't feature. There seemed to be these new guys on the block scoring the goals, and I thought, do you know what, maybe he's dropping down the pecking order a bit, but he's played the last couple of games, you know. And we've got not just a kind of squad who are available to play, but they've had match time. They should be a kind of at a perhaps not a quite a peak, because I know sort of people like Alan are still coming back after fairly lengthy injuries, but to have 20 players all kind of playing Premiership, Championship football and featuring is, you know, is really, really unusual, really positive.
Yeah.
I think it's only maybe Adam Matthews and Paul Dummett who would be in the squad really if they were fit. And they're not first choice players for the 11 anyway. So it's as strong a squad as we've, you know, had the whole campaign, I think, really.
Yeah,
it's
no,
great, considering it's crunch time, is, you know, it's just the one point needed, and we're not going into this thinking, oh, if only sort of like going back to that Romania game in 93 and we didn't have Mark Hughes and Mark Hazelwood. I think they were both suspended, and you want your big players there for the big games. And it looks like we've got them, you know.
Because, I mean, in midfield, Ledley's back and Alan, but Emma Hughes and Johnny Williams as well.
Mm. Johnny Williams, I suppose, is the one exception that he's got a loan move now and he can possibly be looking at play in the future, but I don't think he's had more than about 10 minutes.
He hasn't had much
first team football, has he?
He hasn't been off the bench the last couple of weeks, has he?
No.
They haven't even brought him off the bench.
But I mean, with Alan and Ledley back, the significance of that is more limited.
I think Emma Hughes as well, I mean, great guy to have coming on. I think he's going to be a good player.
And he's more suited to that holding role. So whereas Andy King and Edwards are probably both having to curtail a bit more of the attacking instinct, and Edwards is much more energetic but was having to pick and choose when he was running and things like that, Hughes, his natural game is a bit more just sitting back. So I think it's a bit more of a like-for-like replacement. If, for instance, Alan, you know, maybe still got a niggle or they don't want to risk him or whatever. And I can imagine, you know, he's going to have to impress a new manager at Liverpool. So, you know, if there is any doubts over Alan, for instance, not aware that there, you know, there's any grounds for doubts, we now have a more like-for-like replacement. And Vaughan, for that matter, because Vaughan didn't make it for the Cyprus game, did he, last time? So
having Ledley back in that midfield is massive, point as well.
Mm.
The energy, you know, to go with Alan, both of those playing, I think that makes us, you know, big favourites.
Mm.
Ledley, Alan, deep-lying midfield partnership. It's obvious that our first choice central midfield is Ledley, Alan and Ramsey. And there's been so many games actually this campaign where we've been able to field those three together, so that's going to be great to see again. You know, against a very good Bosnia team, you know, technically very good, we need our kind of best sort of technical midfielders out there in the kind of, you know, the heat of the battle, the people who've got the legs, again the energy, but also the technical ability to match up to that.
Mm, yeah, no, I agree. And like in the midfield against Bosnia in the first game was decimated, if you remember.
Mm.
And I think we'd called up, is it Gwion Edwards? Crawley got a call up.
The
Evans had a call up.
Jake Taylor.
Yeah, I think Taylor. So you look at the midfield now, and you know there's nobody from League One for starters. And you know it's first choice is all Premier League. Okay, Johnny Williams hasn't had a huge amount of game time. That's probably the only criticism. But Vaughan has played for Forest.
Mm.
Hughes is playing, scoring at Huddersfield. So you know it's that is the first choice complement of midfielders. There's nobody there. You go,
oh, if only we had so-and-so, which I think is possibly a first. Certainly, I don't remember. If you assume that Edwards is in that first choice complement, which for me he is, and so he came back at towards the start of last season. So he came on, didn't he, against Bosnia? I think he was the very last fit midfielder we had standing. Cyprus, he came in Cyprus after the red card. My mistake.
It was the only option Coleman had, wasn't it? Because
The cupboard was bare with the injuries.
Hughes all out injured. So it's Ledley and King in there. King gets sent off, and what else could he do?
Yeah.
I thought Edwards came on and did great in that game.
Yeah, he did. He did. And I thought he was great over the two games. And I was kind of really pleased to see him back. He's one of those players I just saw a bit of time for, and he's not done a huge amount. I think it's fair to say, but I just think he's one of those players. He comes in, his commitment is absolutely undoubted, 100% all the time. He's sat on the bench probably a number of times and hasn't come on. Just keeps turning up, and just he can play different roles as well. That's what I like about him. If you want him to sit and hold a little bit like he did, he can do it. He can play off the striker. He can play wide right.
His club career shows he's got a goal in him as well, doesn't he?
Well, Wolves fans, adore him. It was up in North Wales over summer, and we were going up to Liverpool on the train, and I think it's the train that comes through from Birmingham. So there's a couple of sort of Brummy and sort of West Midland papers, and I was just flicking through one, and there was a column in there. So as opposed to an article, just a column, and somebody was going on about how not only does he score goals, his reputation amongst Wolves fans, he scores winning and important goals. Mm. And it actually went back to last season, and I think he'd scored something like, I don't know, 7 goals. And I forget who their top scorer was. But in terms of the points that his 7 goals had won Wolves, I think they'd won more points than the top scorer had won them, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's scoring like the winning goals. He's scoring the only goal in the game, and he's scoring them against rivals. He's scoring away from home as well.
He speaks well. He does a lot of interviews and things on... You see him on Sky Sports News and things pop up quite a bit, don't you?
Yeah.
But I think he always speaks well, and he seems like he's a leader, doesn't he?
Mm,
And I can't, put too high a price on that, in the squad.
But no, I think, I know what you're saying about Edwards. I mean, you're probably sort of sympathetic because he's just a fellow Shropshire Welsh.
Yeah. Going back to what you were saying about him getting important goals, I think that has quite a lot to do with personality, really. It's like, having the... like personality to stamp your authority on games or to come up with the goods when you need it. And I don't know, it's something that really strikes me, I kind of follow him on Twitter, is he just seems like a really good, nice guy, and comes across in the way he plays as well. He's wholehearted. I think when he was at Shrewsbury, they were in the conference, I think, and maybe he went to Luton when they were still in the conference as well. So he's worked his way up from that lower level. I think he was quite late into the professional game as well.
Don't underestimate that either, because it's hard in those lower leagues. It's a hard attritional football.
I can't quite remember who it was against, but I think they had an FA Cup game against a Premier League team, like a big Premier League team, might have been Liverpool or something. He's got a goal to equalise, which got them a replay, maybe away from home, which kept them going because they were on the brink of going bankrupt, but they got this replay away at a big Premier League team.
He scores like an 88th minute equaliser against Bosnia.
I like the way we're talking about him. Given that we've got Gareth Bale, who scores important match winning goals, he's like our spare Gareth Bale, then, isn't he? I bet he's never been thought of in quite those terms before, but that seems to be the way we're kind of presenting him, and why not?
Exactly.
Bale came through 25 minutes, didn't he, on the weekend?
Yeah, I feel a little bit better about the prospect of Bale ever getting injured now. Those goals have been scored by,
I think this is a record for the longest we've gone without mentioning him in a single sitting. Yeah, no, he did, let's be honest. I mean, it was... You want him to have some game time, but you don't want him to have too much in the Madrid derby of all games as well, which is a pretty fiery game at the best of times. And he just had a little run out, didn't he? Just a little trundle, and it was fine.
Yeah.
And no news, no worries the following morning. He'll be fine.
So he's Cotterill, isn't it? Cotterill's looking like he's out now.
He's been dug.
Not really had much of a role to play since coming off in Belgium, has he? But he's an option, I suppose.
But again, it's just
it's so rare that we have so few, he says, touching wood, so few injuries going into what is, you know, still a really important weekend. I mean, any weekend for us, even the unimportant weekends. You know.
Hennessy's been playing as well. It's probably worth mentioning that he's come back into the team at Crystal Palace and a couple of clean sheets there, which I don't think any of us really saw coming.
He is. He's getting games. He's keeping clean sheets. He's getting some good reviews on some of the message boards. A little mooch around one of them on, I think it's the Homesdale's site on the weekend after the West Brom game. Not that he was troubled a great deal, but no, he seems to be getting games, which has always been a bit of a recurring theme with us. I wasn't too aware what the circumstances were, though.
No, because he played the League Cup game, which made you, and McCarthy was on the bench, which made you think, oh, well, they kind of changed things around for the League Cup. But then he stayed in the next game. McCarthy's been on the bench as well. So I don't know whether perhaps the grass hasn't turned out to be greener with McCarthy. Maybe, I don't know what his performances have been like. Great, if he can play and keep clean sheets and do well, it'd be great for him to have a run of games.
Any idea the circumstances, Leon?
No, sorry, can't help you there.
Oh, well.
Like I said before, my only really worry in terms of form is probably James Chester, because he's not really established himself so far at West Brom.
Still early days, though, but it was something at Pulis. I remember seeing something coming from Pulis was saying that basically it's just a completely different way of preparing for games and training from game to game and week to week, and that it'll take him time to adapt.
Well, he's played just over an hour of the last two games because he's come on, presumably for someone going off injured. Olsen went off and someone else, Evans, I think, on the weekend.
Evans, yeah.
So I don't know how long and how bad those injuries are, but if he gets a bit of a run now, that'll kind of start to show us where the ground lies for him at West Brom. But how do you think he's got enough quality, surely, to... We were really worried a year ago about Ben Davis, weren't we? And, you know, how's his future going to pan out at Spurs? And is Danny Rose really a better player? Is that how he's been seen? But that's turned right around now this season. So sometimes they go through these troughs and have to hope back the quality that they'll come through in. I think I'd feel better about it if Collins was getting games at West Ham. I suppose he's someone who's also kind of consigned to the
bench. Came on at the weekend.
He also came on.
Yeah, that's a bit more positive.
He did get games for everybody else's pre-season in the, whatever it's called. I was going to say the Intertoto. It's not the Intertoto, is it?
So a bit of a throwback. He played in the Anglo-Italian.
He had a little run out. But I mean, I suppose Collins, the way he's gone, I mean, he's... Benches is probably as best as you can expect now, isn't it? I suppose
I wouldn't have any problems with Collins coming in.
No, not me. Not me.
He's experienced enough to do a job.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think the fact is, you know, I suppose the biggest story point in terms of availability, or the biggest talking point in terms of availability for the game is the fact that Dzeko isn't playing. And Bezic mentioned it earlier, but you know, Dzeko's a huge threat. And I can remember he just bossed the game when we played him down in Llanelli a few years ago, and that's the first time I'd ever seen him live, and he was just awesome. And looking at their side, take him out of it. And I know they called him up in the squad, but I'm pretty certain he's not going to play. In fact, Roma have even tried to stop him from even just going with the squad.
I mean, looking down that squad list, names do not jump out at you out of that Bosnia squad, do they? Without Besic and Dzeko, the only Pjanic is big name, and you've got a few players. You know, there's one at Stuttgart, one at Deportivo, one at Lazio. Not players, even those ones who are household names. It's not like if you look down the Croatia squad or the Serbia squad at the minute. I think you'd recognise a few more faces, wouldn't you?
And not only that, I think you've got more players in sort of double figures for goals. Because other than Dzeko, you've got, is it Ibisevic, is it?
Ibisevic.
Yeah, there you go. Well done. Our continental correspondent.
Well, he's just... It's interesting with him... Sorry to cut across you there, Russ.
Yeah, carry on.
He was like badly out of form at Stuttgart, I think he was. He was out for like 2 years, and he hadn't scored a goal for virtually two seasons, something like that. He's just gone to Hertha Berlin, and he's actually scored a few goals in the last few games, so he is in form at least, but he used to be really prolific. I think he's got 20-odd goals for Bosnia, but he hasn't scored for 7 or 8 games, something like that. So he's not as big a threat as Dzeko.
Nowhere near, but I mean, at least, according to Wiki anyway, I mean, so it must be right, 24 international goals and 67 caps, which,
yeah.
You know, yeah. is,
you know, he's more than any of our players have scored.
Careful there. The Bosnia football page on Wikipedia also has us already qualified for the European Championships. Yeah, if you look at the league table for the group, it's got us something like arrived at the final stages, I think they worded it as something weird like that.
Get them any spotters badge. It's not lying, it's the internet, it can't lie. But I suppose the point I'm trying to make is that there's not a huge amount of goals outside of Dzeko, so if you take him out, then they're going to be a little bit light,
I think,
as an attacking threat. Notwithstanding, there's some goals in midfield, Pjanic being the main one. I think the other thing that strikes me is just looking at the number of caps. You've got a few players with sort of, there's four players with over 60 caps. Okay, fine. Pjanic, 25, 61 caps. I mean, that's almost Gunter-esque. Handful then in the 40s, but then it's a big drop-off. And I think you can see that maybe that squad is beginning to transition. A lot of players over 30, and you can see that obviously that coach is probably looking to begin to just sort of blood some new players. So you wonder whether, is he looking at that game as a way of, you know, giving it a go, but also trying the rebuilding early? I mean, I don't know what sort of selections they've had in the last couple of games. So yeah, some old-timers, some old heads, experienced heads, but a lot of people still in single figures for caps. So
everything's going to go through Pjanic, isn't it? I mean, we talked about Ledley and Allen coming back, but there's also that sort of context. If between them they do a job on him, that'll make a huge difference to our chances of winning, or at least getting a result out there.
But Dzeko not playing is just a massive boost for us, isn't it?
It says your Roma striker Edin Dzeko is trying to recover to represent Bosnia. Sidelined with a knee injury. Edin is being treated in Rome and is trying to recover. So he's been included in the squad, but he's not with the squad.
Sometimes games where they sort of patch up a star player and stick him on there and hope for the best, that's as good as anything for the opposition. They 50% fit, they don't play well, and the team around them then sort of struggles on the back of that.
We've been there and done that ourselves, haven't we?
Yeah, absolutely.
It came to mind when I was doing research for that piece of Daddy Gabadon on the blog, and he had a game, I think his first cap in 12, 18 months or something ridiculous. He barely played for West Ham out in Montenegro, and he was just shocking. I mean, I wonder whether it's a case of trying to get him fit, not for the first game, but for the second one, because that's the way to Cyprus. Whether they think they can maybe just get something against us, do what they can without him, and then really, in terms of the group, that latter game, the way the group standings, that latter game is more winnable, perhaps. So whether it's just trying to frantically get him ready for that.
So do you think Bosnia are thinking 4 points gives them a good shout of third place? Still, Israel would have to get a maximum of 2 then. Who have Israel got? Belgium, presumably, in one of them.
Cyprus at home for them first, and then Belgium away.
So if Israel would have beat Cyprus, then Bosnia are daft, aren't they? So you wonder how they'll come into our game. Do they think they really need to win? Cyprus holding out, only getting a draw against Israel. If Israel beat Cyprus, they're on 16. And that would mean Bosnia need to win both of their games. Belgium have got Andorra as one of theirs.
So they're done.
Same as us. So Bosnia need to beat us unless they're gambling on Israel not beating Cyprus at home. I think is what it comes down to. Because Bosnia will not have the head to head against Israel, will they?
Well, they both won
1-1.
They both won the away game, didn't they?
Right. Does it come to goal differences?
No, Cyprus that won the one in Bosnia, isn't it?
Bosnia got thumped in Israel, didn't they?
Yes.
What happened in the...
Then lost. Lost there, because Israel lost the last three, didn't they? They lost every game before us. Not every game, but you know what I mean. Third place, I don't think our group is going to provide the best third place. But that playoff, it keeps it interesting. If nothing else, I know there's been criticism of it, and we've touched on it previously in terms of this enlarged competition. But it does keep the games interesting. There's fewer dead rubbers going into the last kind of round of fixtures. So at least we're talking about it, if nothing else, in terms of different permutations and who's chasing who and who needs to do what. So
and in fact, games of this first set of fixtures running simultaneously will be kind of up to the minute sort of stuff for Bosnia, because they'll have to have an eye on the Israel-Cyprus game. They'll have to know that if Israel are beating Cyprus, they've got to try and try and beat us.
And that's a really good point. All the fixtures are kicking off for both days, both evenings, are all kicking off at the same time.
If we were to lose these two games, which...
Sorry? where's this going?
Let's just put it out there. Right? We lose to Bosnia and then, you know, something extremely fluky happens in Cardiff against Andorra next week. But, I mean, it's true. Still got to go to Belgium and actually win.
Oh yeah, yeah.
For us not to qualify. So I think I read somewhere something like it's been worked out that we have a 99.98 chance of qualifying. I don't know how these things are worked out, but
I'll take that.
Seems about right to me.
Leon, you and I just let's leave that to the teachers in the room, okay? they can work out whether that's correct or not. There's an exam question coming up, isn't it? Like a GCSE maths paper. When we mess this up, yeah.
If there is any team in the world that can find that 0.02%, it is us.
Yes, no, you're probably right. As disappointing as it was not to have beaten Israel, to have beaten Israel, yeah, and to have been there at the game as well to see us qualify. There's something kind of appropriate that Wales does it in sort of provincial kind of backwater Bosnia. I mean, what's the Zenicheer, is it like 14,000-15,000 capacity ground or something ridiculous? So there's like 800 people going out from Wales, and there's like something appropriate that we qualify in those sorts of circumstances, given that those sorts of environments have been like a graveyard of our ambition in the past. And for those sort of 800 hardy souls, there's people who've been to, you know, Azerbaijan and Moldova and Georgia and Eindhoven to ship 7 and Georgia to ship 5. And so I think that's kind of...
Yeah. Well earned.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'd be happy with that, I think, then. I'd rather it be party night on Saturday night than Tuesday night.
I think I'd rather just get in there.
Game or not.
Yeah, absolutely.
Although apparently it's 80p a pint in Bosnia. I mean, you're not going to find those prices in Cardiff on Saturday night, yeah?
No.
I mean, like, you know, times up by 10 the way it's going.
I watched Austria a few weeks ago qualify out in Sweden. It was the day I got back, actually, from Cardiff, from being at the Israel game. And they won 4-1. I think they only needed a point, but they won it brilliantly. And just watching that, the celebrations between the players and those like hardcore away fans who'd gone to Sweden, it was just great to watch, and just made me think it would be quite appropriate if we were to do it in Bosnia in front of our away support, long-suffering away support.
Yeah, no, I agree.
And I pictured it a little while back as well, I'm thinking this game could be the one, actually, the one before Andorra. And now Andorra at home will be the kind of the party, you know.
And given how usually dreadful we are under the old sort of Iron Curtain, as it were, and in particular in the former Yugoslavia, again, there's a certain sort of resonance to it, or a certain irony, perhaps, that we get the point to qualify in that sort of location. But
a point.
It's going to happen.
3 points.
It's going
to
happen.
I think it's something Russ said a while back. Given that we've been so confident of qualification, or relatively to all our other campaigns and our near misses, with 4 games to go, we've pretty much felt it was bang on. I got this kind of nagging sense that. Something that Russ said about you want to win the group, you want it to. Mm. I've written this romantic sort of script that, you know, we kind of walk the group, we don't lose a game, we concede like 2 goals in the entire thing, and anything less than that now, okay, it won't be a disappointment, that would be silly. But there is this kind of perfect scenario which would be really, really wonderful to see come about. And I think we probably need to win in Bosnia, don't we, I just think
Saturday could be such a great day for Wales as a nation, you know. But already in the quarterfinals of the World Cup, we could qualify on Saturday night. Potentially, we can beat Australia Saturday day. I just think, you know, 20 years ago, would we be sitting here thinking we can beat Australia in the rugby and we'll qualify for a major tournament in the same day. I think, honestly, it's just such a special... It could put potential to be such a special occasion, such a special time to be a supporter of Welsh sport. You know, I just think we're going to be swept along on that wave. I just hope that Saturday night we can just, you know, do the business.
I'm not looking forward to my hangover Sunday morning.
Well, with England being out, that England-Uruguay game on Saturday night is a nothing game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So, be no excuse for pubs right across Britain to be showing the Wales-Bosnia game, because it's massive, you know, and the England-Uruguay is a wooden spoon game, isn't it?
And we've even managed to get a gloat in about the England rugby team. My bingo scorecard is now complete. We've done it all now. There's nothing else to say about this weekend's list of sporting occasions. Okay, in terms of predictions, I mean, we'll be saying we're going to win over there now. We're not only going to get the points, we're going to break our former Yugoslavia hoodoo.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that was my kind of beautiful dream.
Okay.
But I think a draw, though. I'll say a draw. I'll say 0-0. In Bosnia.
For me, yeah, no, I agree. I think it'll be. I think we can score over there. I think we might nick a win because I don't see them having anywhere near the same degree of goal threat.
Mm.
And we are very resolute, very organised, full defensive complement to choose from. So, you know, I just think if you you top all that up, and I think it works out as us being hard to break down, they haven't got the threat to break us down. Kanic notwithstanding. I think we might nick it, maybe 1-0, 2-1. Ref will need to be strong because they tried to bully us first time round, and the ref was weak, but certainly not strong enough. So I think that's a significant factor as well. My knowledge of UEFA referees is nowhere near good enough to be able to discern whether that's likely or not. So, you know, and it has been a worry in the past whenever we've played in those sort of countries, but... There's a backbone to this side, and as I said, they're resolute and they're determined, and they're not easily bullied. We've seen that in Belgium, you know, when Alan was on the end of some treatment. We saw that at home to Bosnia with Williams and others. So I've got no concerns. I don't think we're as callow as some of our sides have been in the past. So I think we might nick it 1-0, 2-1 maybe.
I think we're going to win 2-0.
Okay.
Yeah. Loads of echo, no Besic. I think we're probably a better side away from home. I think it's set up for our system. They've got to come out and play.
That's a good point.
Home.
Yeah,
you know they can't sit back and try and take a point at home, can they? They're going to have a go at us. So I think that sets it up for us.
And if they're getting wood as well, that Israel are sort of one up at home to Cyprus, you know, then perhaps that. I mean, maybe sometimes managers want to keep all that, but it's very difficult not to. Isn't it? If the supporters know what's going on and things like that.
I'd love to see it be a big game for Ramsey. We've talked up a lot of the positives and things he's done for the team over the campaign. But I think two games on from the last time we spoke about him, we still haven't seen him really at his kind of at his best, his kind of full class. It was nice the little bit before the goal against Cyprus was great. Like to see those little bits of skill coming in. I'd love to see a game before the end of campaign where he's just on the ball all the time and really things he's doing are coming off, and he's kind of not making those lapses of judgment every so often. I mean, if he and then with Alan and Eddie back, if that all kind of works, that could be the way to really seal qualification.
You know, he could have got on the score sheet, couldn't he, in Cyprus?
Yeah,
you know. And you can't help. I personally can't help. I just think it's a matter of time before he's going to cut in and he's going to bend one in the top corner, or he's going to, you know. He almost scored for Arsenal. He should have scored for Arsenal yesterday against United to make it 4-0. You know, he is one of those players. He will miss a sitter or two, but at the same time, you weigh in with a couple of quality strikes.
I'd like him to take a pot shot every now and again though. Sometimes he just wants to be a little bit too over intricate.
He wants to play someone else
in, and it's that selflessness, I suppose.
Against Cyprus he did have a couple of pot shots. Well, not pot shots were they, but they were he cut in and hit it a couple of times, didn't he?
He's coming off the back of a good run for Arsenal now. He's in the team, he's properly fit, the season's underway, and they've just had a really good win. So if any time he's going to really this game, it'll be now.
Wenger has stuck with him, hasn't he, this season? You know, not that he hasn't in the past. He's always been a big fan of Ramsey, no doubt. But you know, there's been sort of a clamour amongst Arsenal fans to pick Oxlade-Chamberlain, hasn't there? Perhaps at the expense of Ramsey or Cazorla, and he's stuck with him so far this season, hasn't he? That shows the faith that he has in him. And I think that'll do him an enormous amount of good, won't it? You know, in terms of his confidence, feeling that he is a first choice, first team player.
And he had some good ratings from the game against United as well, didn't he? So, how do you see it going on Saturday then, Leon?
I predicted a 2-1 win to us on the message board. I predicted wins throughout, so I was just, you know, I wasn't going to deviate from that at this late point. But I'd be more than happy with just, you know, a clean sheet, because another clean sheet and we're there. You know, we've kept 6 and 8 games, so 0-0 would be great. But because they've got to come at us, because they've got to win the game, that really could suit us, suit Bale, if their defence is pushing up and the defence isn't the quickest anyway. He could be in for one or two opportunities. And I'd like to see Ramsey score as well. I think he's had a good campaign. Great game out in Israel with the goal and the assist there. But yeah, it'd be really nice to see kind of like a really sort of special Ramsey performance on Saturday.
I think if we're going to kick on, you know, in terms of, you know, Euros and then the next campaign, you know, he's going to have to start to chip in and score more goals for us, isn't he? Particularly as you can't see a striker coming through the ranks anytime soon. So he's going to have to take a bit of that weight of responsibility on. So yeah, you'd like to see him get a few more, chip in with a few more goals, be a bit more offensive than he has been perhaps.
This nagging thing, he's got like a superstar performance in him.
Oh, I agree with that, yeah.
And it'd be great if it was now. Well, even my more pessimistic prediction has us qualified then by Sunday morning. So what's going to happen on Tuesday against Andorra? 0-0?
To be honest, if we beat Bosnia, that's fine. I'm really not bothered.
Dire 1-0. I think for me, the only question, the only sort of talking point really is, I think it'll be a bit of a sort of like a party carnival atmosphere, which would be great, you know. We make the same substitutions pretty much, injuries notwithstanding, pretty much at the more or less the same points as well. Mm. I know he's varied it a little bit. He brought Vaughan quite early on for Ledley out in Israel, and some of the other changes he's made have been kind of enforced by injuries. But we seem to be, you bring on Vokes, Church, and it's a similar sort of pattern in terms of substitutions. And there's a lot of players. I mean, Henley's in the squad. I mean, okay, you mentioned Dummett, he's not in the squad, but you know, there's another example there, and a couple of others. Lawrence is another one, who've been getting about 12, almost 15, 18 months worth of call-ups without getting a cap. Mm. And I'm all for not just dishing them out like confetti, I think, you know.
Yeah.
I'm a bit traditional, they've got to be earned, and you don't cap people just so that England can't pick them and all the rest of that. So that's fine. And some of those players haven't been playing that regularly. But we're running out of fixtures ahead of a tournament in which to give these players any taste of international football at all.
So are you saying like...
So I'm torn between whether you kind of let the players who've earned the qualification... And I think I'm inclined to go that way, to let them. So, you know, don't taste of international football at all.
So are you saying like...
So I'm torn between whether you kind of let the players who've earned the qualification... And I think I'm inclined to go that way, to let them. So, you know, don't cap Ward, don't give Vaughan Williams a cap. You go with Hennessy because he's been part of the team that's earned, part of the squad that's earned the qualification.
I think with Hennessy as well, you know, Hennessy, Gunter, those kind of boys, they deserve it.
And not just for this campaign.
Yeah, just for this campaign.
50, 60 worth caps of sort of, you know, disappointment and things. No, and there's towards that. But it would be nice if someone like, say for example, David Vaughan or David Edwards got on, but we can't play 20 players. We can't pick 15 from the start. And then it's another fixture where we haven't given Henley a chance, for argument's sake.
Edwards and Vaughan, we kind of know about them. I'd imagine that, all right, whittling down 23 would be difficult, but assuming one or two players get injured before the tournament, if they're fit, they're likely to be in the squad. I wonder if it would be nice to see sort of earlier substitutions on about the hour for their kind of fringe attacking players who haven't paid much time, you know. Let Lawrence and one or two others play against Andorra, desperate to prove, you know, they need to be in the mix for the squad in the summer.
I'm not sure. I just think that if these boys qualify, then let them lap their time up on the pitch.
Oh, right? No, I'm thinking for their sort of substitutions.
We worry about France in due course, and I don't think. Look, I think if we go, you know, touch wood, we go to France, but this is the way we're going to play.
Mm.
You know, we're not going to change our style. Yeah, we're not going to change our system. You know, we're going to play three at the back. We're going to play two wing backs. We're going to be compact, and we got a bit of stardust in Ramsey and Bale, who can hopefully nick us a goal here or there. We're not going to go and, you know, dominate in terms of possession and the, you know, chances and all that sort of stuff. So I'm not bothered if Henley doesn't get
and I end up inclining towards that, because I suppose, what are you going to learn about Henley, you know, against Andorra at home, you know? And if he, you know, if he goes on when we're 5-0 up or something, I mean, I do move with that, but I'm just, it is interesting how few players we've used. So I know Jake Taylor's been capped, and George Williams has been capped, and Johnny Williams, you know, so I know maybe we have gone through.
I haven't worked it out since the last two games, but there was a good sort of 6-7 players who either played them all or missed one game, and that was it.
I'm not criticising that, because, you know, in the past we've been making 4, 5, 6 changes from game to game.
I take your point, but if you look at the squad, right? So we're not going to have probably Dave Edwards isn't going to start, King's not going to start, Johnny Williams isn't going to start, Vaughan's not going to start, Emmett Hughes isn't going to start, Cottrell, Vokes, Church, probably James Chester. You know, that's maybe one of Jazz Richards. That's a decent amount of players. Mm-hmm. That are fairly experienced now.
Yeah, that's true. Actually, you know, yeah, when you write the names off like that. And of course, we want our best team. We've got something of a ghost to sort of lay to rest against Andorra, really. I mean, we should really come out. We should really beat them 4-0.
We do own
that's
them.
What teams do, don't they? Against Andorra, but yeah. We didn't.
How do you see it going, Leon? Do you in the camp of letting the players who qualified savour the moment, or chuck a couple of kids on?
I think this is an opportunity for Owen von Williams to get his first cap at long last, but maybe at half time for Hennessy, like a sort of pre-planned substitution. I'd start with our strongest team and the players who've done it got us there. I'd change the keeper at half time for one, because we need to give either Ward or Von Williams some game time, because Hennessy's our only capped keeper in the squad at the moment. I think that's important.
I have to make sure he does a good half time warm up to play a half in goal against Andorra, won't he?
Yeah. Danny Ward, I think you mentioned, Leon, Danny Ward's been doing well up at Aberdeen.
Yeah, until Saturday when he let in 5.
Oh, yeah.
Up until then. Yeah. Doing great, yeah, which is great to see. He's from Wrexham, and you know, he might have an opportunity at Liverpool in seasons to come.
There was a little profile of him in, was it 442 it was quoting, I quote unquote journeyman midfielder Willow Flood, and he was saying how he remembered coming through Man City and Ward is the best keeper he's played with. And I thought, well, for a journeyman to say that, he's played with a few keepers, clearly. And then he listed sort of David James for one, and then Nicky Weaver, who I'd completely forgotten about, and was supposed to be going on to be like England's next 100 cap winning keeper. Oyster. I don't know. I just think it's important. It's just important that any player, but a keeper in particular, is playing. And I know we can be a bit sniffy about the Scottish Premier League, but you know, a keeper's a keeper in pretty much most leagues. From a simple just, you know, having to save goals, make saves, having a commanding defence. It doesn't matter what level you're at. Those are fairly standard competencies, and I know, you know, like these things to do with like distribution and other sort of tactical things and about presence and that personality, but if you can stop the ball going in the net more often than not, then you know you're going to go far as a keeper. And he's getting some really good, maybe not this weekend, but he's been getting some really good reviews up there. So you know, it's something. It's better than sitting in, you know, sitting on the bench for Liverpool or playing just reserves and under 21s. Or no, he's older than 21 though now, isn't he? He's got 22, is he?
I think so. He had a great experience like a couple of weeks ago of beating Celtic as well.
Yeah.
In the league, they won 2-1 to open up a bit of a gap.
I can see that scenario happening, maybe getting a cap. I mean, maybe put someone on for the debut to start the game and then brings Hennessy on at half time for him to sample the atmosphere and take some of the plaudits.
You'd feel a bit sorry for Von Williams though, wouldn't you, if Danny Ward and Hennessy, Danny Ward got a cap before him, He's been turning up for years and years. He's 28 now, something like that, isn't he?
Yeah, he won more under 21 caps than Hennessy. I mean, he kept Hennessy out of under 21 action, and Hennessy's got 50. You know, and would have got to that sooner had it not been for his knee injury. So when I said this in the bit about players who've been called up but never got called upon, and those players remained uncapped, I think in this very greedy sort of self-centred sort of professional game these days, you know, money obsessed, I think it's nice that there's a place for a sort of bit of sentiment. Mm-hmm. Like when Roger Freestone got his cap, he was never going to be a long term. He wasn't going to cap because Hughes was planning for the future. He got it because
he was quality.
He played like 600-700 league games. No, he was.
Decent. I'm going to be breaking the song now.
Decent penalty taker too. And I think there ought to be a place for that sentiment.
Yeah.
Only in friendlies.
Freestone, wasn't it, against Brazil at the Millennium Stadium?
Yeah.
In front of like 75,000 or something like that.
And I remember at the time thinking, yeah, that's okay. I'm okay with that. I don't think we always have to be blooding for the future in those sort of friendlies. Mm. I think it's a nice sort of antidote to the modern game in some respects. So justice for Vaughan Williams. Get him a cap. The campaign starts here. This is the honorary HQ.
I'd see Tom Lawrence play as well. He's been turning up for the whole campaign, hasn't he? And is still uncapped.
Yeah.
That'd be nice if Lawrence came on for Bale or something in the second half, and Bale gets a standing ovation. I don't know if everything goes to plan. That is, you know, bring Lawrence on for half an hour, and maybe Henley, someone like that as well, come on for Richards or for Gunter. I'd give three uncapped players a go as substitutes, and take off some of maybe take off Ashley Williams or something like that. A hint, soak up the applause from the crowd. That would be a great if that was to happen. I think Cardiff, you know, the Swansea captain coming off to a standing ovation, that'd be magic.
Don't forget, you know, Coleman got sent on by Hughes that time, didn't he? Against Germany, yeah. when you know, I think he knew then his time was up. You know, he wasn't going to come back, but he got sent on. He played like, you know, was it like right wing or something? I think he was like a like-for-like replacement in terms of positional replacement for Earnshaw. And it was a masterstroke of man management on Hughes' part, to be fair to him. So Earnshaw comes off having scored and debut and all the rest of it. And that applause that Coleman had, I think, is in my top two or three moments of watching Wales, because it was spine tingling, because it was a nasty, you know, nasty incident he was involved in. And I just wonder whether Coleman knows that, and I think Coleman can judge those sort of moments well. I wouldn't be at all surprised if he does something like that, actually. Bale probably won't play the full 90. He'll probably come off on like 70 minutes, having, you know, filled his boots, hopefully. I can see Ashley coming off. Yeah, I can see that being the way it goes. So, I mean, it's clear it's going to be 3 points against Andorra. How many are we going to score?
Seven.
Whoa. Okay. No, not that many. Four.
What do you reckon, Leon?
My instinct is to say three, but as Rich isn't here tonight, I feel like he should be extra optimistic on his behalf and go five.
That's what I was going to say. I think it'd be five. But I can see them scoring one, you know, or opening the scoring or something sort of potentially calamitous. But of course, I think we're in agreement by that point, it won't matter. Mm. We could even lose 1-0, and it won't matter. But brilliant. Well, I mean, I think it's more than just a coincidence that since we've been doing these, we are not only unbeaten, on the verge of qualification, is it the best defensive record now in the whole qualifying?
I think it might be joint with Romania.
All-time high in the rankings of eighth. So I've been keeping an eye on the FAW Awards this evening. I'm not sure there's a category of best supporters podcast, but I think had there been, I think we'd have been a shoo-in. In a long list of only one, I'm admittedly, but still, nonetheless. Okay, well, thanks for your time, gents. Yeah. Well, I have noticed, and just for Howell's benefit, I noticed that Alan Curtis has won an award,
I saw that,
a long service award, And he was, I got a picture, he was presented with it by Ashley Williams.
He still looks like he could play, doesn't he?
Yeah. And great player. So on that, but not a bombshell really, is it? But long deserved. There's probably Swans fans out there going, about time. It's like at least 10 years too late. He's still at Swans, isn't he? On the coaching staff.
He's still there. Still at the club.
Top player. Okay, well, maybe try and reconvene after the Andorra game, kind of early on, try and make the most of the party atmosphere. I'm not carrying this big microphone around with me on the day to try to get any kind of live footage, live coverage of it. So, and my phone's about to die on me. So, if anyone else feels free to generate a bit of content, live action content, then feel free. But okay, so until next time, cheers, gents.